This is Mark McNeese, and you're listening to One Thing or Another, Interviews and Conversations. Welcome to the podcast, everyone. This is your host, Mark, and my guest today is a returnee. It's Matt Lovers-Moore, one of the founders of ReQueer Tales. This publisher has a mission to bring select queer fiction back into circulation with an emphasis on gay mysteries, although they're not all gay mysteries, that flourished in the 1960s through the early 2000s. We will get to this later, but I was asked to write a foreword for a book they just published from Grant Michaels, and that's one of the things that we're going to talk about today. Matt, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me back, Mark.
Now, before we started recording, you mentioned you're at the library. Can you tell people where you are and a little bit about Matt Lovers-Moore?
Well, I'm in Grand Rapids, Michigan. The library I'm at is where I work. It's the Grand Valley State University Library. So I have to wear a mask, so I might sound a bit muffled while I'm on the podcast. We've been doing ReQueer Tales now for a little over a year. We've got almost 40 books. By the end of this year, we'll have, I think, almost 50. By the end of this year, we'll be at 47 books. So we're kind of excited about that and keep moving up. 33 books by the end of this year. I'm ahead of myself. But we're doing a lot of great things, and we're really excited about where we're going.
Now, I don't know if we hit on this the last time we spoke, but who does what? Who does your covers? I'm curious about that. What are the relationships with you and the other founders?
So we all have our specialties. Justine does kind of the contracting. She's a lawyer by trade, so she does the contracts and the proofing and editing. I mean, we all do proofing and editing of every book we read. We each read the titles. We all, make corrections that we see. Alexander does pretty much everything. He is the true backbone of ReQueer Tales. He tends to track down the authors. He's the one that scans physical books into ebooks. He does most of the marketing. There's so much that he does. I can't even think of everything that he does. But I usually am the one that will contact authors or their estate or the author's estates if they've passed on. I also usually am the first person to do the proof. So I find like the simple errors. Justine usually is a much more thorough copy editor than I am. And then I also work with Dawn Dominique, who does our covers. Mm-hmm. And then I work with the authors of the estates, and then I transfer what they would like to see on the covers to Dawn. And then we all work together on perfecting our covers. So that's a lot of what we do.
Well, that's a good description. And it's also a nice segue into talking about a specific author on today's podcast, and that's Grant Michaels, the late Grant Michaels. I'm curious, how did you end up choosing him to publish?
Well, he was actually the first person that we even thought of. The idea was around, so John Michelson, who is associated with us but not one of the founding members, he suggested that it would be really cool if someone could republish John Morgan Wilson's Simple Justice and the mm-hmm. Justice books. And so we started kind of joking around about it. And John just had so much stuff on his plate and still does that he couldn't get involved as much as he would have liked. But Justine, Alexander, and I were just kind of joking about it. And we said, this would be funny if we just started up our own publishing company. And then we did. And the first person that we thought of was Grant Michaels. There have been quite a lot of talk about him in the Facebook group, Gay Mystery, Suspense, and Thrillers. And we thought, his books are so hard to find. I mean, you can go on Amazon and find, old copies of his books, and they're, 20, 30 bucks each, And we thought, it'd be really cool to to bring those back, because they were, you know, one of the original gay mysteries. And Stan Krajicek is just hilarious. You know, and up to this point, no one had written a book about kind of a stereotypical gay man. You know, that, you know, most of the gay authors, you know, Joseph Hansen, Michael Nava, Richard Stevenson, all their characters were pretty much straight acting. You know, they, mm-hmm. you know, they were, you know, macho, you know, noir, you know, they, you know, yeah, they had sex with men and everything involved with that. But, you know, Stan Krajicek's, you know, he's a hairstylist. You know, his longtime boyfriend in the series was a dancer. Choreographers, you know, it's like, and it was just kind of nice to see, but he could give as good as he got, you know, I mean, he didn't back down from, you know, something, you know, and it was just nice to see a kind of a gay character kind of embracing the stereotypes rather than, you know, trying to pretend to be a straight man and, you know, as a gay man, you know. And I mean, I love Joseph Hansen. You know, I love the Dave Brandstetter series. I love Michael Nava's Henry Rios, and I love Richard Stevenson's Don Strachey. But it's refreshing to read a book about a gay man who could be written off as a stereotype, but isn't.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because it has me thinking about the book that I read and did the foreword for. And I, other than being a hairdresser, I never experienced, when I was reading it, he never struck me as a stereotype in the sense that, like, a straight writer might write a gay stereotype. He never felt inauthentic to me.
Right. And I love that, because he's, you know, he's not, you know, the limp-wristed, swishing, you know, lisping stereotype that he might have been if a gay person had written, or if a straight person had written the series.
Now, how did you go about, because he did pass away, I'd like to know how it was through his brother, I believe, and how that process worked, getting the rights to do it.
So usually it's fairly simple. You know, if the author's alive, it's really simple. You just, you know, reach out and contact the author. When the author is deceased, it becomes a little bit more complicated, because you got to find out who holds the literary rights to the books. And so Alexander and Justine are like ninjas. I don't know how they do this. They're able to track down who's like the estate and stuff. But with Grant Michaels, it was a little more complicated. So we found the lawyer who handled Grant Michaels' estate. And of course, she had a website, but there was no contact me or email. So I had to mail her a physical letter asking if she could put us in touch with the estate holder, who we believed was Grant Michaels' mother. Unfortunately, we found out that Grant Michaels' mother had passed away a year after Grant Michaels had. And so she put us in touch with his brother, Robert. And so we kind of went back and forth with Robert for a while, you know, going over the contracts. And this was our first author, so this was all new to us. You know, it's all new to him. So, you know, it's all trial and error. So he agreed to republish his books, but in the contract it states that the person signing has to prove that they hold the literary rights. You know, it'd be awful if we start republishing these and then it turns out we don't have the rights. We don't actually have the rights. Mm-hmm. And so he contacted the lawyer and asked her, you know, to once again, you know, to go over the will. And it turned out he actually didn't have the rights. Michael Mesrobian left. Michael Mesrobian, who is Grant Michaels, left the rights to his books to a friend of his. So fortunately, the brother, Robert, is friends with this other guy. And So he put us in touch with him, and he donated all of his papers and everything like that to a Boston library. And he believed that he left all the literary rights to them as well. And so we went back and forth with them. And it turns out that they don't accept literary rights. So he still had the literary rights. So, yeah. So after a lot of back and forth, and we finally got a contract signed with him. And so that's how we are now coming out with Time to Check Out. Which is the fifth book in the Grant Michael Stan Krajicek series.
Yes, and we're going to talk about that book now. I have, by the way, that's really interesting because Frank and my husband and I have done wills. We just redid them a few months ago, and it never occurred to me about the rights to my, my intellectual property. I never even thought about it.
Yeah,
So
you
I got to
should
do
make
that
sure you put that
now.
in there. Yeah.
He could
Make
use
it
that
really easy
$30 a
for
month
us
that
to
I'm bringing
find.
in.
Yes. Yeah, make it as easy as humanly possible for literary people to find who has your rights.
Yes, I will. Now that I want to talk a little bit about Time to Check Out. I had not read Grant Michael's before until this, and I really want to thank you folks for asking me to write the foreword because I really enjoyed the book. It's called Time to Check Out. It's this character Stan Krajicek, his lover, I believe it's pronounced Rafik, dies in an accident. I'm not. There's no spoiler there. It's right up front that he's in Key West. He goes to Key West. He's from Boston, but he goes to Key West to sort of process his grief and figure out what he wants to do with this inheritance. A lot of it came from UPS. I think it was UPS, but I didn't know if he actually used the UPS. Now, see, now I'm thinking, did he use UPS? Can you? Anyways, he comes into some money because of his lover's death, and he goes to Key West. And then, as he's about to not stay there anymore, the woman who runs the place where he's staying is he finds her dead with a clock, an alarm clock stuffed in her mouth, and a painting is missing. So, I'm not going to give too much more away, except to say that I really liked the characters. I was engrossed right away. It's very he does multiple dialogue very well. A lot of his scenes involve two, three, or more characters, and in fact, most of them do. It's I've noticed that he didn't. There aren't a lot of scenes where it's just Stan and another person. Sometimes when we're reading, we'll read long chapters that are just, a couple of characters, but Grant Michaels, in this book at least, is working with a lot of characters almost all the time. I thought he did it very effectively. I've been to Key West; it's one of my favorite places, and I enjoyed the color of the locale. He's really good at descriptions. I felt like I was in a very colorful environment with colorful characters, and the mystery is quite, sort of, it's complex. It's not an easy thing to figure out.
Yeah, it's funny because I always when I do the marketing on Facebook, I always list I always go into like I always list it as a cozy. And but it's because there's not a lot of sex, there's not a lot of swearing in it. So I kind of list it as a cozy because he's an amateur sleuth and all that. But I one of my favorite genres to read are cozies. And a lot of times, cozies are very simple to figure out who did it. There's a small cast of characters, and you can usually guess who did it by the end. Grant Michaels is not like that. usually by the end, you're still like, who in the world did it? And the great thing is, there's so many characters in his books that it's really hard to guess. And really try hard to figure out who did it. But the one thing I like about him is that he does have a lot of characters in the books, but you don't forget who the characters are. The one problem I have with some authors is that they use a million characters and they call them by different names, and they're all, and so by the halfway through the book, they start talking about this one character, and I'm like, who are they talking about? And so, but Grant Michaels, you know, you know who the characters are. You get to know them really well. And by the end of the book, you're still trying to figure out who did it and how. And Stan wraps everything up so nicely.
And also, it was, I didn't have any trouble knowing, following who was speaking when. And it's not easy to write scenes with multiple characters and not have it get confusing sometimes.
I was bogged down with he said, she said. They said, you know, this person then said this and then, you know. So, yeah, it can get bogged down with, like, too much dialogue specific. But, no, I think he did it beautifully.
I thought it was a lot of fun. And he was, you know, one of the earlier gay mystery authors, which is what you in Greek Weird specialize in. Now, are there only 5 books? Is that it for him?
So this is kind of exciting. He published his first book in he published his first book in 1990. So that was fairly early on. There are 6 books that have been published. Time to Check Out was his 5th. Dead as a Doornail was the 6th published book before he passed away. Now, we had heard that he had written and finished a 7th book. And Greg Herron was an editor, and he had edited the book. He had edited the book for the original publisher, but he had no idea what happened to it after Grant Michaels' death. After he died, the publisher just dropped the series. I believe we have a signed contract. We found the 7th book. The library in Boston had a copy of it, just a manuscript form. And so we bought a scan of it, and we will be publishing it for the first time. I believe it'll be coming out end of 2021 or mid 2021. It might not even be on the schedule yet. I'm looking. I don't see it yet, but I'm thinking by the end of 2021, we'll release the 7th unpublished book of Grant Michaels' Stan Krajicek series. And it's called Do-Si-Do. I think it's Do-Si-Do Murder.
From Square Dancing.
What's that?
From Square Dancing. Yeah. They Do-Si-Do. Yeah. I had a boyfriend who was a square dancer.
Oh, yeah. It's called Do-Si-Do Murder. Yep. And it'll be coming out sometime in 2021.
You know, well, I think it's just great. And I was delighted to discover this author. And I just highly recommend it to anybody. I love the character, and he's very human. I like Stan a lot. I could definitely read more books with him in them. And, you know, and I also think it's wonderful that Mr. Michaels posthumously is reaching a new audience. What else is on the queue, in the queue for Requeered?
Oh, you know, we have so much. We're really excited because, you know, I've been saying from the very beginning that we are attempting to preserve the literary heritage of the LGBTQ community. The hard thing that we're having a problem with is finding non-gay male authors. We're having a hard time reaching out to the lesbian community. We're having a hard time reaching out to the transgender community. And we'd really love to republish books in those communities as well. We've reached out to a lot of different authors who are either not interested in republishing their works or they're working with someone else. One author that we're really excited about is Lauren Wright Douglas. She won the Lambda Award for Best Lesbian Mystery in the 90s. I can't recall which title, but she wrote a series called the Caitlin Reese Mysteries, and it's a private investigator in Vancouver, Canada, and she's part psychic. So it adds a little bit of a paranormal element to it. The first book, there's not a lot of psychic elements. I'm just starting to proof the second book in the series, and it gets a little bit more. She starts developing her powers in that book a little bit more. But the first book is called The Always Anonymous Beast, which is about jealousy. And it's an incredible book. And we're so excited about finally bringing out more lesbian mysteries. We have been publishing the Virginia Kelly Mysteries by Nikki Baker. Her second book in the game, no, I'm sorry, The Lavender House Murder just came out in July. And those will be available in both ebook and paperbacks. And the great thing about Nikki Baker was she was the first African American lesbian mystery author in the genre, and her character is the first African American lesbian private she's an accountant, but she's the first African American lesbian detective in the genre, and it's really exciting that we're able to republish her books. We're republishing Felice Baccano, who his book, The Book of Lies, is coming out later this year. Oh, actually, Book of Lies. Yeah, it'll be coming out either later this month or next month. Yeah, later this month. We got the Nick Hoffman books by Lev Raphael. His third book is Death of a Constant Lover, is coming out later this year. We have Brian Baldry's Love the Magician. That's one of our literary titles, not one of our mystery titles. And that will also be coming out at the end of the year. And that will be the last book that we publish for the year. We always take December off to unwind and get ready for the next year. But we have so many great titles. We got John Morgan Wilson now. So we did just republish his first book in the series, Simple Justice. And not only do we have like great authors, like them, but we also have incredible forward authors like yourself. We got Catherine Forrester, who is an amazing author and incredibly prolific author. She wrote a foreword for The Always Anonymous Beast. Christopher Rice, the son of Anne Rice and, incredibly talented author in his own right. He wrote the foreword for Simple Justice. We had Christopher Brahm write a foreword for us for Mountain Climbing in Sheridan Square by Stan Leventhal. So we just have just so, Andrew Halloran wrote one for us. It's just amazing the support that we're getting from the gay community as well as the author community, who are excited about seeing a lot of these books coming back. We got a few more like literary titles coming out this year. We got Robert Farrell's Second Son coming out.
Is he
And then
still
we
alive, Robert Farrell?
no, Robert Farrell passed away. Yeah.
Okay.
He him the great well, we're kind of excited about, which is also kind of sad. We are publishing his book. I'm hoping I'm getting this right. So we're republishing Robert Farrell. And his lover, Michael Grumley, also wrote a book called Life Drawing. And they died within a month of each other, I believe it was.
Wow.
And so it's really exciting because we're republishing Second Son and then Life Drawing, one right after the other, as kind of a tribute to their life together. But yeah, unfortunately, they both passed away of AIDS in the
Yeah,
90s.
I only asked because when you mentioned his name, I remembered seeing his writing, when I was probably when I was living in LA a long time ago. But so I was just curious. I didn't know if he was had passed away or not.
Yeah, he passed away. We're most of our authors are still alive, which is fantastic. But yeah, unfortunately, quite a few of our authors have passed away, mostly from AIDS. We just unfortunately lost one of our authors in May from the COVID-19 virus.
Really?
Edward O. Phillips. He was, I believe, in his early 80s, living in Canada, and he died on May 31st of this year from COVID complications. So starting next year, we were just focusing on his Jeffrey Chadwick series, but we decided to, in memory of him, release all of his titles that we can. So we have Death is Relative and Hope Springs Eternal coming out the first week of January.
Excellent. Now, I just want to say, by the way, if anybody wants to hear an interview with John Morgan Wilson, who's Simple Justice, you just put back out a 25th anniversary. I did interview him. So if you go to the One Thing or Another podcast.com, you'll see, or you can also just go on to Alexa. And, anyways, it's on iHeartRadio everywhere. But I'm not, you know, I don't like to plug myself when I do these. I'm just letting you know that I did interview him, and it was really a pleasure to talk to him. Now, tell people how they can find Requeered Tales and see all of your titles.
So you can contact Requeered Tales by going to our website, requeeredtales.com. You could there is a contact us link if you want to contact us, or you can just email us at requeeredtales@gmail.com. We all see that. If you see, we're also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Facebook is typically updated when we have new releases, which is every other week. Instagram and Twitter are typically updated a little bit more often. As you can tell, I'm the one that updates Facebook. We would love to hear suggestions of authors that people would like to see come back that might be out of print. If you're on Amazon and you see a book that's going for, you know, quite a lot of money, in your opinion, and it's been out of print for years, we would love to hear about it and possibly maybe bring out our own version. If you are an author and your books are out of print, we would like to hear from you, because although we are booked up through 2021, 2022 is about only half full. So we would like to have some more books to fill in, because 2023 and on are looking a little bleak. So we want to fill up our spreadsheet here, and we also want to bring out some more books to preserve our literary heritage. I have one quick story about the covers. So I was working with Dawn doing the cover for Time to Check Out, mm-hmm. and it takes place in Key West. And the most Key West is the southernmost city in the continental United States. Mm-hmm. And they have a giant monument. It's like red and yellow, and it stands at the most southern tip of Key West.
I've seen it.
Okay. And Dawn thought it'd be a really great thing to put on the cover. However, Stan Krajicek refers to it as a butt plug in Time to Check Out. And so we did not think that would be an appropriate image to be on our cover. So we did have to change it. But yeah, so it's an interesting road that we're traveling, and we're learning so much about everything involving the publishing world, including making sure you don't put butt plugs on our covers.
Well, I'm glad you and your team have done all this. By the way, when you are at that little monument, you're closer to Cuba than you are to Miami. There's a little fact.
Oh, wow.
There's a fact for you. So, Matt, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show again and talking about the book and getting caught up with everything. It's been a delight. I will have you on again. I know that for sure. But it sounds like you're really busy. I mean, you've got titles lined up for the next couple of years. So,
well, yeah, we're super excited, because, like I said, we've got just over 20 authors. We have over 100 titles that we're going to be republishing. So, we've got the next few years. We know we've got the next few years that we'll have books coming out, and we're hoping for more. We just got a contract signed with Brown University to republish John Preston's books. We just got contracts signed with Richard Hall's to republish his books. So yeah, we're super excited. We got a ton of great books coming out. And the future looks very bright for us. And we're just excited. As I said before, we're just so excited about all the support that we've had from the gay community, from the author community, and even like podcasters like yourself and Brad Shreve. You know, you've all been so supportive and helpful, and it's been a wonderful experience so far.
Good, and I'm happy I can do my very small part to help spread the word. You have a wonderful day, and we'll get caught up again. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and you too. Thanks, Mark.
Yep. Bye.